Do they, have they been denied, or do you, are the state banks complaining, or that this?
Nutshell, yes. They are not given equal treatment. It is a long way from here to San Francisco. If you're a small bank from Alaska trying to compete to participate in a multi-billion dollar thing, it's a long way from here to there. If we're gonna send our money out of state, then we should be given first right of refusal, not last.
That's gonna have follow-up. Sure, let me just make an acknowledgement. Representative Malone, is with us at this time.
Go ahead.
Do you think, in your opinion, the volume of money borrowed have any effect on the rate of return? In other words, large banks, you know, as far as security reasons or whatever, would have higher, could offer a higher rate of return than smaller banks?
I think that those rates are set in the marketplace, and they tend to be the same. I think the degree of security of a national bank, whether it's in Alaska or California, from the security of our money is the same. I think that the rates of interest are established in the national market, international markets, money markets. If they couldn't meet the crisis, I'm not saying that we should give them in any way, that we should give them to Alaskan banks for a lower rate of return. Quite the contrary. I'm saying that they should be given equal access. They should be first among equals. If they're going to accept 9% CDs, if that's what they're gonna buy with the money, then they ought to buy as many as the Alaska banks want to sell them, and then the rest should go outside. I'm not saying sell them to the Alaska banks for 8% CDs, including the Alaska banks for 8% CDs, and outsiders can buy. I in no way construe this to reduce Alaska's income or security or services. It's merely requiring that our banks get a shot at it, an equal shot, that they be first among equals, not last.
Then this bill, or your proposal, or your intent, is not to give any advantage to a state bank, it's just to make them.
No, it is. It's to say first among equals. If we're going to put money out into CDs at 9%, then the Alaska Bank should be able to take all they want of that, and the rest go outside. First among equals, not unequal, but equal, but first among equals.
One follow-up. Has your knowledge, has the bank, or has the state been investing its money in foreign banks? By foreign, I mean non-American banks.
I understand that it is possible, but I don't know for sure. I would note to you that they are buying, in some of these things, they are buying gold in commercial paper. I believe that gold is important to the illegal market. In fact, I think in the case of the teacher's retirement money, I believe that gold was bought in Geneva and was hedged simultaneously to lock in a return of 1.97%. And I've got to tell you that if you're investing in state money and you're locking in a return of 1.97%, you are either hopelessly corrupt because of that, or you are hopelessly incompetent, and I really don't care which you are. When you have state money out during times of 15-18% interest at 1.97%, that's outrageous. And our own people do a lot better.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last year, a law was passed in regard to interstate banking and making outside holding companies available coming to Alaska. I believe it was for a three-year period, are you aware of that? And how, in effect, would this bill affect that law, considering that we would have outside holding companies come in and California Bank and the other companies?
It definitely explicitly says state banks, which has the preference, meaning a bank chartered to conduct the business of banking in this state, but does not include a state bank which is controlled by an out-of-state bank holding company. And I would point out the following to the committee. For many, many years, as it would appropriately be a frontier area, Alaska had a capital shortage here. It was always hard to get liquidity, particularly in the interior of Alaska. During that time, there was never any pressure from an outside bank to come up here and open up a channel to flow money into the state. It wasn't until we began to have a liquidity surplus that they wanted to rush in here to so they can open up a link between Alaska, a channel between Alaska and the outside. And that channel was not open to flow money in, it was open to take deposits to flow money out. They're very rational people, and they're very rational people, they're looking after their interests, not yours and mine. We have to look after ours. And had I been in the legislature, I would have voted against that bill.
And our purpose at hand is not to enrich outside holding companies. Otherwise, the Bank of America conceptually can come up here, buy a small bank, flow everything into that bank, and then flow it on outside.
President Ewing? President Malone, are you prepared, if not, on a serious question?
Well, I just, I got here a little late, so I'm still listening as to the purpose of the legislation. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and impose it. So is it what? Representative Lindau, just a couple of questions and observation. The first question is, can you share with the committee as to which banks have voiced, which specific banks have voiced concern of not being able to enjoy in those deposits?
I generally know a number of bank officers and bank executives, and I have talked with them within the past week about this matter. And the fact of life is that they concede, they believe that they are not given a chance to participate. The numbers would appear to suggest that that might indeed be the case.
If I may just again make some observation, as you are probably aware, within the state of Alaska, the banking industry is approximately 2.6, 2.7 billion strong. Of that, they're generating a profit after tax of approximately $50 million, and I'm rounding these off probably high. You will find that the larger banks are generating net profits anywhere from $13 to $15 million. I doubt if you find any other business industry with such healthy returns on investments anywhere in the state of Alaska, frankly, anywhere in the East United States. Which brings to mind, it appears that the banks are not suffering from investment opportunities, especially when you look at the financial statements and you see that the loan-to-deposit ratio is declining as opposed to increasing. That the loans to investment ratios are just inverse. They are indeed increasing. It was my experience in my very short time in the bank that several people are normally designated to handle investments. There are other people that are up at 2:30 in the morning talking to the various banks around the state, the United States, looking at possible investments, be they commercial paper, federal funds, stocks, bonds, or whatever. And as one of those pyramid of investments would be potential state of Alaska CD deposits. The third point, well known, a bank can only accept so much in deposits. Unfortunately, they may not be able to reinvest that into something. And I would assume that the ultimate goal here is perhaps to increase the loan ability of a bank as opposed to their ability to, it doesn't make any sense to give them additional money, and they in turn go out and invest those dollars outside anyway.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, let me address that. Let me remind the committee of the traditional banking policy of the last 40 or 50 years. The banking policy, the basic policy, I think study after study has confirmed, is that it is the basic policy of a bank to stay loaned up. That is to say, it has every dollar working, and to have a diversified and safe portfolio at the same time. Obviously, they're going to be diversifying, and obviously a bank, even with this or any other thing we might do, is going to have a policy of having assets that are owned outside of Alaska. They're going to be into federal securities. They're going to be diversified, as they should be. As is required by the various regulatory agencies. To the extent that Alaska has a problem, it is that as a frontier area, it has a high demand for developing businesses, high demand for building, construction, housing, and so forth. And it has simultaneously sent most of its liquidity outside by a combination perhaps of imperfections in the market
but more because of a state policy wherein we have invested our permanent fund outside, where we have deposited our banks outside. We have held down the supply of liquidity arbitrarily, and the market has worked and has given Alaska, as a result, a higher rate of interest. Granted, a higher risk also, but a higher rate of interest than outside because of imperfections in the capital system. And the only way that we're going to be treated equal is if we take care of ourselves. Most states have a requirement that their money be deposited in that state. We do not have such a requirement. I don't see California, however, allowing California treasurer to come up here and deposit money in the Bank of the North. What I agree is quite the reverse. The California is coming up here asking us to deposit our money outside. We need to break into this liquidity market every way possible. This is one way to do it. I've also proposed legislation, Mr. Chairman, that would allow ADA to engage in certain other kinds of investments and loans. Many of us were elected on the basis that we would stop the flow of money outside and get the Alaska's money invested in Alaska where possible, where it was prudent. This is one of a series of things that needs to be done to see that Alaskans get treated equally. And when it comes to Alaskans' money, that we are first among you. I would hope that this would be part of a larger package of bills that would be developed by this committee over the next couple of years that would tend to bring Alaska up to the level of services with our money that Californians enjoy with their money. The wonderful people that are said in my notes semi-sarcastically, and they're trying to subsidize them and make them more prosperous. Really over. I don't see bailing out Chrysler a la Patty Moss of a year or two ago. I do not see bailing out the Bank of America a la what we're doing now. I think they're both in the same scope.
What percentage of the funds on deposit do the Alaska Bank have right now?
2.7%.
Invested in Alaska.
I don't know. Well, that number would be available. I'm sure that the regulatory body here in the state capital and the banking could get the December 31st report for all the banks and the calculate that.
The reason I ask that question is that I wonder what good it might do if the deposit of the state tax in Alaska Bank, if what the bank could do is turn around and be exactly what Treasury would do, it would be to find investment for the money, pretty much the same thing that Treasury would find, and the only difference would be that we get a somewhat lower yield on the state cash while we're doing that. I guess my question is funds on deposit, what percentage of those funds on deposit do Alaska Bank have in loans in Alaska? And I'd just kind of like to know the answer to that question, because if it's a very high percentage, then maybe what you're talking about could be accomplished through the means of this bill. If it's not, then maybe it wouldn't be.
Let me, if I might respond to that, there are really two points in that. I wonder if the lecture is complete. One way is the question of whether or not we would earn less money because they would just reinvest the money where we could just invest it directly. If that was the case, we're going to earn less money, that would not be a prudent thing to do, and the intention of the bill is not to cause us to earn 8% from Alaska banks, and we could earn 9% from outside banks. I totally reject that concept. The purpose would be to allow the Alaska Bank first shot at any 9% money they're going to put out. Before we load it, we buy CDs and the Bank of America 9%, we could allow the Bank of the North and the Alaska State Bank and any other reasonable bank, or qualified bank, Alaska, NBA, whatever, to get that 9% CD. So but I don't think we're talking in any way about a reduction in income.
Question you ask about the composition of the bank portfolio and what percentage goes into state loans in the state is a very good question. However, as Chairman Furniss would, I'm sure, know from his experience in banking, banks tend to have a portfolio, a very diverse portfolio, whose basic parameters are approved by the various regulatory agencies. They want to see a conventional portfolio, an acceptable range of the total deposits into federal securities of long and short terms, an acceptable range into corporate securities, an acceptable range, depending on the size of the bank, into real estate loans and consumer loans. But there are normal conventional regulatory parameters which banks are expected to fall into, and if they don't fall into that, then the regulatory agencies take a very hard look at that. If we were to double the deposits magically of every Alaskan bank tomorrow, my guess is that the composition of their portfolios would change very little. That a year from now we would find that they would still have 32% in federal securities. That they would have doubled their federal securities, and it would still be 32%. That they would have doubled their real estate loans, and they'd still be 16%, for example. That they would have doubled their business loans. That they would, in effect, have maintained their basic portfolio parameters. Their portfolio would have just doubled in size. I suppose there would be certain changes within that, that a bank might reach a size that would allow it to move more into a certain area that it couldn't move into before. But basically, they would remain the same. I think the chairman probably can speak to that as well as anyone here.
Perhaps let me just say a couple of things. The normal rule of thumb is 60-40, about 60% of loans and 40% of other investments. John, is that true?
Sometimes a little higher.
I think regulatory agencies are normally concerned when it feels higher than that. What you find is most banks will stay fairly close to that 60% as a matter of policy. I agree with you. What you may find now is that 60% is somewhat lower than that because of the diversity and investment and everything continuous.
Yeah, why did you say one of the questions? And that is, it's not a question really, I guess it's a comment. I don't know what the effect of this sort of policy would be on the yield of the state funds that would be invested, state general funds would be invested. But I would think that if there was any significant difference in the yield, it probably this legislation is unconstitutional, and that under the spending limit adopted by voters last year, Article 9, Section 16, the last sentence states, the governor shall, speaking about the general fund, the governor shall cause any unexpended money unappropriated balance to be invested so as to yield competitive market rates to the Treasury. And I think what that means is that market rates that would be competitive for investment on the scale of the Commission of Nations. So I think that's a question that has to be examined in this legislation. I'd like to hear from the Department of Revenue.
If I might respond to that, Mr. Chairman, that is not only implicit, it is explicit as this is written. If I call you, that is a concern. We obviously do not want to have less than the maximum yield, but let me, if I might take the liberty of reading the following. The Commissioner, under Section B, Line 10, the Commissioner of Revenue may not make an investment or deposit with a foreign bank unless there is no state bank that will accept all or a portion of the investment or deposit under the same terms or conditions. It provides for no preference in terms of lower rates of return or anything else. It merely says that if you're going to let an outside bank have it, you've got to let an inside bank have first crack at it under the same terms and conditions. If it's good enough to take 9%, if 9% is a good enough rate of return to the Bank of America, from the Bank of America, then it ought to be 9% ought to be good enough to get from Barron's Bank and the Bank of the North
and the Alaska State Bank and everything else. If 9% is acceptable from outside, and you're putting a great mass, and realistically, the great mass of this money is still going to go outside, and we're still going to have that market test because the local banks, for the reasons the chairman correctly pointed out, probably can't absorb it. What this does is give them a crack at it in legislation, requires them to be given a crack at it, whereas right now there may be implicit, and you'll hear many stories about how they certainly care and so forth and so on. But But certainly caring and making promises is not the same thing as requiring that state banks get a first crack at it.
Okay. Representative Rendell, is there any concrete evidence to show that the state is not making these deposits available to the banking system now?
Concrete evidence?
It was my experience, again, this has been many years ago, that as a matter of course, all banks, banks in the state had at least a fair shot at those. It was on a bid basis, especially in the certificates of deposit. As far as demand deposits, I think you'll find a very healthy amount of demand deposits, but in certificates, was my experience that
to a large extent, you're absolutely correct that that is going out on a bid basis. But what is happening is it's going first, it's being administered outside, and then it's being offered to banks. And it is not perceived in the banking industry that we have first credit money. I would start a bank and take some of that 1.97% interest money that we put out for gold. That was a hell of a deal. Someone robbed us blind. When we talk about the prudent man, I would just remind you that at the peak interest rates, when they were pushing 20%, when I had to pay 22% for my business, the Commissioner of Revenue was guaranteeing the state hedging gold sales for 1.97%. That is not prudent, and that was because he was outside. The fact is, he got to fly to Geneva to do that. We should have given him the air travel card and told him to invest the money at home and retire the sucker. I hate to be so crude about it, but I have very real feelings that the Bank of America wouldn't have this if it wasn't in San Francisco. If it was in Paducah, Kentucky, we wouldn't be using the Bank of America.
Representative Linda, let me allude to maybe some technical questions here. Line 14, fact 13 and 14, the Commission shall promulgate regulations provide for equal protection by all state banks which desire to participate in the investment. The question has to do with the state bank. As you well know, in banking terminology, state bank means something definite and distinct, and then there's national bank. You go down farther, in fact, I didn't catch this, I would have brought it to you before now. State bank means a bank charter to conduct the business of banking in this state that does not include, and that would normally connotate a state bank versus a national bank,
yes,
which is federally chartered.
I raised the very same question myself, Chairman, and I personally called over to the lawyer who was drafting it. I said, you know, in banking parlance, a state bank means a bank that does not have a national charter. And I was assured that that may be banking parlance, but law as the drafted in this case was defined as a bank chartered to conduct the business of banking in this state, and I was told that that included the Bank of the North, the National Bank of Alaska, and all those national banks are banks. And we have defined here what a state bank is. It says state bank means a bank chartered to conduct the business of banking in this state. So that even though it is outside the standard parlance, it would include NBA and Bank of the North and so forth. And I personally asked that question.
Certainly destroys many years of.
Yeah, it did for me. I called personally to make sure it was the case.
Yes, I was wondering. I don't know through the chair or the representative. Has this ever been a question of the constitutionality of this? Does this meet, or would this be a problem, or the AG did have an opinion on this, or I don't know, did you research that in?
Well, we asked the lawyers who drafted this to make sure, and I went back over it because of this. Now, I would tell you this, it's my understanding that we are one of the few states in the Union that does not have this kind of law. Under law, I do not believe California state funds can be deposited outside of California. Texas state funds can't be deposited outside of Texas. We may be perhaps the only state in the Union. I won't state that as a fact, because I'm sure there must be one more somewhere. But almost every state, as a matter of course, requires that its state money be deposited in that state. We are the only state that I know of that does not require that and allows out-of-state banks to handle its money. So the case of constitutionality, I suspect, has been established many, many times over for the last 100 or 200 years.
A couple of questions, no other. In the line 22 to 24, in the definition of a bank, line 23, a state bank which is controlled, does not include a state bank which is controlled by an out-of-state bank holding company. Just perhaps as a matter of information, the questionable entity, Super Bank and Trust, as I understand, has been sold to an outside entity, so they wouldn't all qualify. Alaska State Bank, where it may not be controlled by an out-of-state holding company, as I recall, the chief executive officer is out of the state of Alaska. There's strong rumors that NBLA and perhaps Security National Bank will be sold to outside entities. That would leave perhaps First National Bank of Anchorage, Alaska Pacific Bank, and they're doing some reorganization, and there's a strong possibility that they may not qualify based upon their reorganization. Burns Bank across the street and Bank of the North. It appears that we may be only hitting maybe three banks in the long run.
I totally disagree.
The main purpose of these bank holding companies come up here, especially the legislature, is setting up really the nation's first interstate banking, Alaska, first one through the door to allow that. And you just have to go back and ask yourself the basic question of why, what interstate banking does. It opens up a conduit, a channel between banks in two states to allow money to flow. All these years when we were liquidity short, they didn't open up that channel because money would have flowed from California and Seattle and so forth into Alaska. You suddenly have money and they suddenly rush up here to open the channel, and there's only one reason why, and that was to open the channel so the money would flow out. Because it is quite common. Bankers are students of banking history, and the idea that Alaska was going to require its money to be deposited in Alaska banks is a long overdue idea, and it's conventional and traditional in all other states. That's why interstate banking has had such problems getting established, except in Alaska where they got to the legislature a few terms ago. And I would say to you that the main reason they are buying these banks is so they can get our deposits and flow them out. And that's one reason why we should stop that.
Listen on that, maybe to just reiterate my point here, I think it's almost a fact that 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 of Alaskan banks within the next couple of years will be clearly outside of the intent of the bill here, and that is not qualified.
If they sell outside.
Well, Super Bank has already done so.
It was.
NBLA and Security, to my knowledge, a strong consideration, although not publicly known at this point. It's always been somewhat of a question of the last 6 days, again, because it's controlling from outside, you know. One other question, I won't delve on that. This appears to not include savings and loan associations. First Federal, for example. Alaska Mutual just took on a state bank charter, so they would have been included. But First Federal Savings and Loan is a long-standing Alaskan financial institution.
At the present time, it does not. But again, I call your attention to legislation itself, because it may not make an investment or deposit with a foreign bank, which is defined as a bank outside of Alaska, with a foreign bank, unless there's no state bank. So we're not talking about money that is destined for savings alone. We're saying that if you're going to buy a CD at a national bank, then buy a CD just the last investment. That's all we're saying.
Right, the certificate, you'll find that Home Federal Savings and First Federal Savings alone are very, very heavy investors into the Alaskan economy. And so would it well use a longer-term investment.
I agree with you, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I agree with you so much that I would suggest that if you have that concern, and I may well share that concern, I would hope that perhaps the committee substitutes to refer to no state bank or qualifying state financial institution, and then define them as including savings and loans or any other.
Let me recognize that thing alone. And you know, there was a much huge bill, but going back to the statement that was going to Linda about the outside banks wanting to have a conduit in the
that the transfer of funds out. So that may be so. All I know is the majority visible support for the legislation allowing the sale of the master bank or the bank through the master bank. And my perception is, maybe I was off base on it, but the reason that people want to do that is that they have a pretty valuable property in master bank. A lot of that had to do with the fact that there was a great deal of state money that was being channeled through that system, specifically in the area of legal loans, national finance corporations.
Activities that were profitable to Alaska banks, and I suppose Alaskans too, as far as that goes, but I think that the impetus for that change of law came from the Alaska banks, as far as I can see.
If I might respond to that, Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely right. If I owned a business, and thought I could take advantage of the state's willingness to let its money flow out of the state, and by selling it at 3 times book value, well, let me assure you, I would be in here asking you to help me sell my business at 3 times state, 3 times its book value, and they certainly did. But that doesn't mean it's in the state's interest to flow all that money out and let them take a capitalized capital gain on the ability of outside banks to get their hands on our money.
No, just one more question. If it seems a little bit inconsistent here to me that if the people are already trying to drain a bunch of money through Alaska banks, that what we want to do is put more into them, but I guess I don't understand the purpose of this legislation anymore. I think that I understood it at first that the purpose of legislation was to support our local businesses.
Yeah. I know.
Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
Thank you.
Can I make one follow-up comment to Representative Malone? If you notice the exclusion, those banks which did sell themselves to the outsiders, who I'm sure bought them thinking they were going to blow the money through and on outside, are explicitly excluded from this. It is the ones who are oriented towards Alaska that would participate, not those that are oriented towards interstate banking, which I again would remind you, apparently no other state has accepted except us. And you think that they all rushed up here when we suddenly had a $3 billion surplus, but after 100 years, or within 90 or whatever number of days it was, that they all rushed up here to buy these banks, you got to believe in the tooth fairy, that they were coming up here to help us and bring even more money. They were coming up here to get their hands on our money. And no other state in the union would allow it, and there's no reason for us to allow it. But it's not irrational for them to take it. And it's not irrational for a banker to come down here and want to sell his bank at 3 times its value because they can deliver money that they're going to get out of the state of Alaska.
The additional question for Representative Lindau. We have two people that I'd like to call upon, Mr. Kirkpatrick and Mr. Cornett. Would like to at this time, Mr. Kirkpatrick, from the Commerce and Economic Development Division of Business, Division of Banking. Mm-hmm. Sir, for the record, would you identify yourself?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Willis Kirkpatrick. I'm Director of Banking Securities and Corporation. I have no statement, but I'm here to answer questions to the best of my ability, sir.
Thank you, sir. We would appreciate perhaps reviewing for the committee the method by which the state of Alaska currently invests its dollars and how those funds are offered to the various competing entities.
Mr. Chairman, I think that you should probably have to ask the representatives from the revenue as far as because I understand your question is how are the deposits determined as far as the state funds are concerned?
How are they invested? The question addressed in this bill is to give Alaska banks the first right of refusal, and what we're trying to get at is the present system.
Okay. Let me give you sort of a status of what we perceive that our financial institutions are in or the direction they're heading at the present time. The Financial Institution Industry in the United States is deeply in a deregulatory movement. A year or so ago, we called it an evolution. Now we're basically calling it a revolution. The Comptroller of Currency, the Federal Home Loan Bank, the Federal Reserve, and the credit union counterparts are basically deregulating the federally chartered financial institutions to the point where financial institutions are treated as sort of a franchise holder, like a public utility. We find that the services are being deregulated, the investments are being deregulated, and the protection for the financial institutions is being deregulated. And this is evidenced by the fact that competing non-financial institutions such as Sears and Prudential and other types of entrants into this type of market. My point is this, is that beginning of this year, we have what we call a money market mutual fund account, which is a deposit in financial institutions that has no minimum and has no minimum deposit, no maximum rate. This causes the traditional regulatory individuals who are concerned about the bank's investment, so a great deal of concern and heartburn.
This is basically all hot money, and he's paying top dollar for it. What is the financial institution going to do with it? Last year, we, in the area of regulating the state chartered financial institutions, we began to see this a little bit in what we call the repo retail agreements, or the retail repos, if I inverted it. So that we started the financial institutions reporting to us on a periodic basis, matching maturities as to what they were doing with those funds, because we already had some concerns. In relationship to what is currently going on, I note that we have already in financial institutions, in banks, I should say, in this instance, that there is a 121% increase in state and local political subdivision deposits in financial institutions. That brings it up, that means it doubled over last year, so we have about $660 some million in deposits from those types of institutions. So we are a little bit concerned as to what at least the state chartered financial institutions are doing with these funds. In other words, you have to be a very good liquidity manager in managing this type of hot money. In the case of the money market accounts I alluded to, it's very difficult for them to invest it in anything that would be within the state as far as construction financing or permanent financing or even business, because that money will drift from financial institutions one to the other as they are competitive in naming the rate. One of the things that concerns me then with, and I don't believe I'm testifying necessarily against House Bill 111, but one of the things that concerns me.
I had a question of this $600 million plus that you mentioned. Is that total amounts of these instruments, or is that just the amount that is invested by state and local government?
That's what we show as the bank reporting as having deposit on deposit from states and local government.
As of what date, sir?
December 31, 1982.
Thank you.
But I am concerned to the point that if it's if it's an attempt to try and use the state bank as a thing that concerns me to a small degree is the question of the out-of-state bank holding company. I think most of our, I speak again of our state chartered financial institutions, most of our state chartered financial institutions are publicly held corporations. The local financial institution is held a great degree by the Mullen family and the Durney and the descendants of the original barons in California. They are stockholders of the financial institution, but Barons is a local bank. It's chartered as a state chartered financial institution. Its corporation through that charter is Alaska. It does a service to the employees, and I think that you would find, I mean, not to only to the employees and the owners, but also to the community. But I think you would find the same thing true with People's Bank and Trust if it should be purchased by, if it wouldn't the purchase be consummated by Rainier Bancorp. The ownership, it would be a subsidiary of an organization that would be outside the state, but it would still be a local entity operating within the either the national charter. I understand that they may convert to a national charter, but they're presently a state charter, but they would still, if they maintain their state chartered identity, they would still be a state chartered financial institution operating in Anchorage, Alaska. As far as the funds being a conduit, with the high degree of volatile funds that our financial institutions have now, they do go outside, and we encourage them to manage that liquidity at the best of their ability because it is so volatile. So I think that you would find that there would probably be this conduit of funds outside anyway. I think I drifted a little bit as to...
Perhaps there are some questions. Let me just remind the committee. We probably should be out here by 10, at least 5 to 10. I want to make a couple of other meetings. Let me start this site and then
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what you're trying to maybe allude to here is even if this bill passed in its present form that and we required this, the Department of Revenue to deposit money in the state bank, are you saying that it would offer the funds to the state bank? Are you saying that that money would essentially drift outside eventually anyway because it couldn't all be deposited in line?
It would depend upon what the maturity. In other words, if they were bidding for a particular, on a particular offer for a CD for a maturity, then there would be an opportunity to try and place those funds locally or on based upon matching maturities. I've been told, and I don't know, but sometimes that the state may elect to either exercise an early maturity or try and market that CD if the funds are needed. Now, that may create a problem, but the point is there, if there was a specific maturity over a period of time that the bank could do something with those funds and that the bid price was not so high that they could make it a profitable and that they had a spread, then they could use those funds locally. I don't mean to imply that there is no chance of using those funds locally. But that's determined on the financial institution's liquidity management at that particular time.
Okay.
Representative Cowder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You stated earlier that you wasn't necessarily against this bill, but I'm wondering if you're for it, or is this bill, in your opinion, necessary or needed? Some place should be cleaned up, or that.
I haven't formulated an opinion on that. I haven't discussed this with many financial institutions. I don't know what their concerns are. It would have the only effect that it would have on me in my regulatory responsibilities is to watch their management of this type of funds, and we do this anyway. So, as I alluded to earlier, we see a problem with what they have now as far as the money market accounts and how they're treating that. But this would not be any further task to my agency in that regulation. But as to whether or not the financial institutions are in favor of this, I really don't know. I can't speak for them, sir.
Thank you. I've got a little bit of a concern on the our definitions of state banks and foreign banks and what have you. In light of the bill for the interstate banking that was passed last year and all the recent concern we're having over residency clauses, do you feel that we are, by this definition in the bill here, defining resident and non-resident banks, is that going to be a problem with the residency laws as we're working at them?
We looked at it very, very briefly, and one of my staff examiners feels that it may be a question under the Zobel case as to discriminatory activity. But we have no opinion on that, but it was brought up in our discussion.
If I could follow up on that, President Long, if you don't mind a second. I have some questions concerning, again, the definition, the use of the term state banks, and I understand Representative Lindau has checked this, but in your actual hand-owned dealing with the institution, do you have a problem, for example, line 14, where it says, by all state banks, and line 22, a state bank mean a bank charter to conduct business. Does those statements give you a problem?
Mr. Chairman, no, they don't. There are both federal and national chartered financial institutions to conduct business in this state. So the national banks also have a state charter by the federal government, and state chartered financial institutions have a state charter by the state government. So,
well, but the statement here is a state bank means a bank charter to conduct the business of banking in this state. And that leads me to believe we're talking about a bank that the state of Alaska has issued a charter to. Do you read it the same way?
No, I see that the Comptroller of Currency, as an example, could charter MBA to do a state banking to do a business in the state of Alaska. They don't have a charter to do business outside the state at this particular time. But other provisions of law might. I think there's a couple other sections of law when they talk about banks within the state, it refers to state banks and national banks means. In other words, they name them. I can't remember the citation. I think there is a citation and maybe in the definitions of 0605 that includes the word national in that.
I'll ask staff to research that for us.
I did receive a call from Tom Sofol, and he didn't disclose to me what specific bill that he was working on, but we discussed to a small degree the definition of the state bank. And I think we discussed at that particular time that there are national banks chartered in Alaska, which would then make them an Alaska national bank, I guess. But in other words, we have national banks chartered to do business in Alaska. So I guess they would be national banks.
But they're chartered by the controller.
Yes, to do business in the state of Alaska.
I think you're right. Just made it sure that Mr. Lindoff, I think the thing was giving me problems in my reading over the years. Normally, they're talking about an in-state entity. The term would probably be expanded to say state of national bank starts to do business in the state of Alaska. That cleared it up in my mind.
When it came back this way, Mr. Chairman, I was, because of my past background, I also called Mr. Logan to go the attorney to correct my law.
I'll let staff to research that for us, and that's what we're saying. Let me go to Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to pursue the question raised by Mr. Ringstead here and Mr. Patrick's testimony. As far as this definition of state bank, does not include a state bank which is controlled by an out-of-state bank holding company. And during your testimony, Mr. Patrick, you point out that there may be or are, in fact, some Alaska banks wherein publicly held, the owners are not state residents. There's a time when the majority ownership is not state residents. So so that this legislation may in fact discriminate on the type of ownership if the control of the bank is owned by an out-of-state bank holding company, we're not going to identify them as a bank that's eligible for this special treatment that would be proposed in the law. But if it's owned by individuals residing in Houston or New York or wherever, then they would be, is that correct? The bank would be eligible.
It's my reading that that banks that were owned, banks located in the state of Alaska that were owned by a bank holding company would not be eligible for the provisions of this bill. My statement concerning other ownership outside the state was just as a comparison of ownership, not necessarily as an exclusion of those ownerships from this bill.
Thank you. One other question was that does your division have information on the percentage of Alaska deposits in Alaska banks that are invested in loans to Alaska? Or do banks even keep that kind of information?
Through our call report, we can come up with the ratios of what's disclosed on that call report. In other words, they disclose, among other things, their loans and their deposits, and we can make ratios on the basis of that information. And we have just compiled the year-end report, consolidated report, so we can give you ratios off of that consolidated report.
Thank you.
If I could ask her a couple of things, and I want to give Mr. Corner a couple of minutes to address the committee. Mr. Kirkpatrick, could you possibly provide for us, a brief analysis, let's say, the reports you get, are those annual reports that you get those from the banking industry?
The quarterly reports. we do them quarterly, and we just compiled year in. So the fourth quarter has just been completed for 1982.
Could you go back perhaps maybe four quarters and give us an analysis of the loan to deposit ratios and loan to investment ratios? And rather than break down the individual banks, perhaps just look at the industry as a whole, if that's possible. I'd like to ask staff for to review the definition section to know that what some other things. But if I may, let's introduce that corner for some great questions.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to comment that the last event of the association has taken no position before arguing to the
I had just a couple of questions about what the response. Does the record show that West Corner Fuel Lighting
Yard,
yes, represents the banking industry in the lobby? When you're dealing with the bank, has this been a problem?
Not my mind. I know from Mr. Chairman, it has been indicated to me that it has or has not.
Do you have access to the names of the investment offices of each bank? Could you perhaps provide those to us? Thank you. Any questions from the committee to this point? Maybe perhaps Dr. Lindahl, you want to join us again? A couple of questions. The bill proposes to do a couple of things. Let me perhaps just say for the record here, I think what Reverend Lindahl here has proposed has some merit. What we need to investigate here is to not only making the offer, but at the other end of the spectrum, and making that offer, if the GPC, take advantage of it, can they absorb the additional liquidity and do so within a timely basis? Mr. Kirkpatrick, if we could also find out the average length of maturity of the deposit that may be let.
I wouldn't have that information.
Perhaps revenue? I'd like to, next time, too, ask someone from revenue to address it. Sorry, Dr. Lindahl. My thought here was, not only do we want to ensure that they can absorb the liquidity, but I think one of the things you're interested in, and that's why I've asked for the loan-to-deposit ratio, the loan-to-investment ratio, we also need some assurances, at least some idea, if those funds indeed are going to go back into the Alaskan community as opposed to pulling out. And one of the things I was supposed to do, maybe through a very short teleconference collectively, to talk to those investment officers, to give you an opportunity to sit with this committee to just explore what the possibility
is. I think I alluded to the key word in my original presentation, which was loaned up. Banks tend to be very pleased, and I have never met an Alaskan bank or any other who wasn't pleased when someone came in and made a deposit, whether it was buy a CD, put it in time or demand or any other thing. As a general rule, bankers look for deposits. And they look for them because they can loan them out, if you will. And the overt policy of every bank that I have ever known of was to stay loaned up. As you're well aware, as you commented yourself, people getting up at 2:30 in the morning to lay off excess reserves, and they're totally loaned up almost hour by hour, if not day by day. That is an overt policy of our banking situation. What I would assume would happen, as in every other case, if in fact they did not have a loan demand for these or an investment demand, they wouldn't accept the CD. They wouldn't be willing to pay the 9% to the outside bank. So I have confidence in the bankers of Alaska that they would not pay excess rates of interest when they couldn't loan them out. I have confidence that they would maintain the portfolio spreads and the percentages needed for security and for viability and for growth. And I'm sure we have a regulatory body right here, and the state government is going to make sure that they have the right loan percentages. No doubt with what the FDIC and the Comptroller of the Currency and any other regulatory body that deals with these things will ensure that they will be loaned up and that they will have the right portfolio composition. I have no illusions about if a bank was offered another $100 million or $100,000, whatever the number is, that they would put every penny of that into Alaska. On the other hand, I think that they wouldn't keep taking the longer term CDs and putting all the money outside. Because what that would do, Mr. Chairman, would be to have their percentage of money in federal funds getting relatively large compared to the amount in local loans, and their loan committee would look at that and say that we are getting outside the normal percentage to maximize our income if we put it more within the state. So I do have real confidence in Alaska's bankers at doing what they traditionally do, that is accepting deposits whenever they can get them at interest rates that allow them to loan that money out in a rational way.
And then they're not going to pay, they're not going to accept the deposits and pay 9% or any other percentage that an outside bank can, unless they have an alternative. So I don't think we have to worry about their behavior. I think the real question is whether we can get the deposits to them in some fashion.
Are there an additional question for Dr. Lindau? If not, let's adjourn the meeting at this time.
What was the
quote? Oh, no, we're out of town. Oh, hold on a second. Let's stop. That was a, we had a conversation on the bill some yesterday. But we'll have that later. I'll just catch it. If no other matters to come before the committee at this time, the meeting is now adjourned.
Good. First today?